So just to give you a little background, so this is a participatory model that after, in none of our my community partners are here because they're in San Diego, unfortunately, and now in North Carolina. But this came out about the experience of working as a CVPR fellow in North Carolina and learning how much more about CVPR and how our process was so engaged with what we're doing in San Diego through the San Diego Prevention Research Center. So I listed our partners and they send their regards. Okay, so just to, I'm going to introduce the San Diego Prevention Research Center, describe the participatory process that we engage on with them to, and the Community Engagement Committee to conduct our study, describing the process of recruitment, the training, and engagement of community residents and conducting the research, and what we learned throughout this process and where they are right now. And that was also one of the biggest motivations of presenting this experience, because the growth that we saw in our community residents and what they're doing now. So I felt that this is in honor to what they're learning, what we learned together. So I hope that I can share that with you through the presentation. So we all know that we are almost 50 million Latinos in the United States right now. Unfortunately, also, we represent about 50% of them are overweight and obese. One of the reasons why we have the San Diego Research, San Diego Prevention Research Center is because of the lack of physical activity and the changes in Latinos in terms of diet and their health outcomes. So the San Diego Prevention Research Center is this partnership between San Diego State University, the University of California San Diego, and the San Isidro Health Health Center. So the Prevention Research Center, you may know, are funded through the CDC, and we are one of the 35 centers across the country that works collaboratively and in partnership with community organizations to further a health agenda in the community. In our case, we are focuses on reducing obesity and increase physical activity promotion efforts and opportunities among our residents in the community. Regarding, there's many layers of the SDPRC, but regarding research, we are engaged in evaluating community-based efforts to reduce obesity and increase and reduce health disparities among Latinos in the area. Designing projects in participation with our community members or community partners to, again, increase well-being among the residents of our communities. And we designed all this through a community-based participatory process. So we are growing and we are learning how to make it more participatory as we move along doing this. So in one big piece of our process is the Community Engagement Committee, which is formed by many members of our partnering communities. And this is the list of our community engagement committee. It's represented by academic partners and also community members. So we have the School of Public Health at San Diego State University, the Department in Exercise and Nutrition Science, Sociology, Psychology, the Cancer Center for UCSD. And then we have big parts of our community partners is the Chula Vista Department of Recreation, the elementary school districts, different CBOs that work at different levels in the community partners. We are also engaged with in terms of policy, and we have the city council office, which represents our community. I'll show you a map of our community members, and also the health services from the county. So if, and I'm a big, I like to talk about this too because it's part of where we're doing our work, but it's a very unique community, and if you know anything about California, we're right but next to the border with Mexico. So that also increases, it makes us a little bit different in terms of the context and the kind of challenges that we have in the community. So one of them, so the green area is all our partnering community, so it's a big area. But one of the challenges too that we've sometimes confronted is the lack of trust sometimes between research and academic partners in our community. So it was very important for us to really create an environment where we could conduct our study. So, and again, living along the border, to give you more of an idea where our community looks like, is one of the busiest, at least our border between San Diego and Tijuana is one of the busiest in the world. We represent one of many sister cities along the U.S.-Mexico border, and that also makes us a bit different. And we also find there are some changes in health outcomes or differences between those residents that live in the Tijuana side of Mexico and the residents that live in the U.S. side along the border. So we also wanted to be aware of that when we were conducting our study. And we learned a lot of this. I mean, this is some of the statistics that we were able to find, but we learned a lot of about this through our engagement with our community partners and talking to them about the reality of living in those communities. So the task at hand in 2009 was to conduct a biannual community-wide assessment that part of the San Diego Prevention Research Center. So to know how we're doing in terms of all the efforts that we're doing in research and community to increase physical activity, increase well-being among the residents, and see how that is going about. So the San Diego Prevention Research Center is in the second cycle of funding at this moment. So it's about 7 years that we've been out in the community. So it was done in 2009 to conduct this community-wide survey. So, and we also wanted to make it that it also represented everybody because this is targeted to all community residents in this community. So we wanted to really have a good idea of if it was impacting everybody and how far the reach out of the programs that we have. So I took the lead on doing this work, and so we decided to do a cross-sectional survey and a multi-state sampling. So briefly, just to tell you what this means is we randomly selected neighborhoods and households and individuals within those households. So we were able to calculate, which I'm not going to present that, so don't worry about it, population weight. So we were able to say this really represents the community. So think about NHANES or the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System survey, where, you know, they go across the country and randomly select people, but they can say large statements about the nation's health. So sort of like that's what we try to do, but on a very small scale. We have two bilingual Mexican origin interviewers to conduct one home single home visit to conduct our assessment. And this was very important for us, so we never send people by themselves. And at this point, we only have resource to use research assistants or graduate students to help us do an evaluation in all the projects that we have done before. But this time, because it was so important to maintain the engagement of the community, the community engagement board was very involved in this process. And because it was only one visit, there was the only time we didn't ask for names, we didn't ask to follow them up later on. And because of we were just knocking at the doors, we felt that was very important to have community residents that knew the neighborhoods very well so they can really get in touch and establish quick rapport with the person. We're knocking at the door, oh, can you let us in? We're going to do an interview with you right now. So that was very important. And that we learned from the process of working with the CEC. So we spent about 7 months conducting the study between planning and still working on the results. So this is just a graphic representation of what how we went about. So we came to the community engagement board. We talked about, well, it's time to do this aim of our project. We need to conduct the survey. How do we go about that? And so there were several meetings that were back and forth in terms of coming up with some ideas, methods, and we discussed with them, and then we went about and it made common decisions in terms of how it was going to happen, in terms of the recruitment, the measurements that we use in our survey, the method in terms of recruiting the community residents. So when we got to the part of actually recruiting the community residents, we used all their networks, and so we drafted a job announcement, and we have it around the community. So it was also a good opportunity because the unemployment rate was very high around there, so they wanted to have members of their even the CBOs that may no longer were working to have them involved in the project, so to help them to also be working. So we recruited 10 community residents. They were trained, and they actually help us to do all research activities. From day one, where we have to canvass in all the neighborhoods that we randomly selected, count every person in those neighborhoods, until the last report and data entry that we conducted. So that was a very fulfilling experience because it was a very different role that they were playing in the research. And to see them growing through that process was very rewarding for everybody, I think. So just to give you a little bit of the profile of who we were looking for, or who we work with, they were the residents of our community, so they knew very well where they're going, and they knew the ways around to find homes and whatnot. Definitely they needed to be bilingual, Mexican origin, thank you, because of most of our residents are of Mexican origin there. Transportation, we wanted to work sometimes on the weekends and in the evenings, willing to attend the training, and we felt as a group that females were going to be better received at home visits as well. So this was a long, a month-long training that we conducted with them, and we make sure that they understood every piece of the information that we given to them, and we took even extra time sometimes to make sure that they understood the process. Not just giving them information and follow procedures, but why are we doing this? Why are we asking you for the weight? Why are we asking you randomly selecting a person in the home and so on? So research ethics were very important, and we went down to all these different pieces of the training to make sure that they were certified and were ready to do the work as well. They asked a lot of questions, which was very, very good because that was an opportunity for us to discuss what we were learning and making sure that they were understanding the process. This is just some pictures of our training. They all train together, and we have them come to one of our offices, but they used to carpool together at one point after a week of working together. They were, we were having lunch together. So creating that friendship was also very helpful in terms of the process because it was very hard work for them as well. So this is one of the things that I'm most proud of after all. A lot of them, some of them were undergrad students, and they all finished. Some of them also were lay health advisors, so promotoras that were working in other projects and got hired to help us with the survey. Employees of some of our community engagement committee partner organizations, and women that we've been looking for work and they didn't have the opportunity for it. So this was the first time for them in a while to go back to the job market. Now some of them I know, I stay in contact with them, are now in grad school, which is very rewarding, and they have said that this experience helped them to make the leap and go for that. Some of these women actually now are because they learn about IRB and they have all this experience that were hired by other teams to do research, and they really enjoy the process because they feel like they can represent the community and don't necessarily let others do whatever they want. And then lay health advisors are well, so they're working in projects. And I know at least two of them actually. One moved out of state because she was done with California. She said, I'm not going to get a job here. She left, and now she has her own business. And I know other one also has started her own business. So if anything, I think this is an amazing outcome of our process. This is, and I'm going to let you read it quickly, but this is pretty much the experience in one of the research assistants or interviewers told me in terms of learning more about her own community and knowing that even though in mind this she's English is her second language, so she expressed how much she had learned from her own community. And some of these community interviewers actually lived in Tijuana, and they commuted sometimes to come and do the work. So they were very, very true to the context. But she's also looking, at least this community interviewer is going for her graduate training too. So reflecting a little bit on that experience, the resident participation was active and effective, and I think that was through the engagement of the community engagement committee and residents' participation, I think made the experience, the building the capacity, not only of that, of the residents, but the community engagement committee. The leadership was formal through this PRC and the ECE, but also through informal, through having the residents be engaged in the process and learning from there. So sometimes we decided, we're going to do, knock every three doors, and they came back and tell us, that's not going to work. We need to do it this way. So it was a very process that went back and forth, and we learned a lot through that. I really like this part in terms of thinking about organizational structures as the hardware, where the interactions and what we learn from the community residents and that feedback is the software. So we kind of, complement each other in a way that makes the process much more effective and and fruitful for everybody. So this idea of that the SDPRC having the resources and the academic partners being the hardware, but the community residents and the ECE being the software that actually makes the machine run. I think that is very powerful, in my opinion, anyways. Problem assessment and resource mobilization, we work with them. They tell us, yeah, this is not going to work. We need to go at 5 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock and things like that. And using other resources in terms of, and also pulling resources that we have as academic partners for them to use in terms of going to other universities and so on. Sorry, I didn't see that. Asking why, so critically assessing the process, and then using agents outside our partnerships. Thank you very much.